All right. Well, as a Christian and as a pastor, I have learned that both in my experience and sort of helping others, I have learned that Christians struggle. We struggle with who we are, and we want to change. There's a lot of things in our lives that we sort of don't like about us, about who we are, and we want to change those things. Let me give you an example of what I mean. Completely made up example. Dylan. Dylan had a problem with anger. And the smallest, most trivial thing set him off. Things like traffic, things like the perceived, what he perceived as immaturity in other people. Those things set him off. He became very angry at those things, and other things set him off. Thankfully, Dylan recognized his anger problem, and he wanted to change. That's key. He recognized it and he wanted to change. Sadly, he achieved very little success in sort of changing his anger, his short fuse. As a professing Christian, Dylan knew that his anger was sinful. He knew that it was sinful. It was not what God desired of him. But he felt that he could never really be himself around fellow Christians because he felt that he would be judged. He did feel judged by others. They saw this anger problem in him. And when Dylan did have conversations with other believers, what happened to him is he felt like he had to wear a mask. He couldn't let other people really know who he was, revealing this deep problem he had with anger. It was a deep, deep problem. Yet, Dylan deeply wanted to change, so he found himself kind of caught in the classic catch-22. He couldn't reveal his problem with anger to others, and yet revealing his problem to others would have been a means to help him change. And he knew that, but he struggled to sort of reveal that and to be honest with who he was. So he was sort of caught in this catch-22. So I want to know tonight, how can we help Dylan? What would we say to him? Well, let me give you my answer. You're all waiting for my answer. I believe that the answer for Dylan lies in a massively, massively prominent theme that we see in Scripture. And the theme is in three words, union with Christ. Have you heard of that theme? Union with Christ. So what I want to do is I want to look at one passage tonight that speaks about union with Christ to see how we might help Dylan and the rest of us, Dylans, who have besetting sin struggles that union with Christ speaks to in our lives. So, turn with me to Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2, and we're going to look at just verse 20.
Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. So the key phrase I want us to focus on in this verse is the phrase, but Christ lives in me. What does it mean that Christ lives in me? Well, what it means is that you and I are in union with Christ. In our modern day language, it means that you have a relationship with Christ. Or you could say it means that you have communion with Christ. Or you could say it means that your first and foremost identity is that of a Christ follower. You have Christ in you. You're following Christ. Christ lives in me, Paul says. And that means I am in union with Christ. But what does union with Christ mean on a practical level? Like, theologically, okay, it means union with Christ, but what does that mean for me on the ground level? Well, I want to give you two takeaways of what this means practically. And I want to give you these two truths, and they may at first sound contradictory, but they're both true and both glorious. Number one, because Christ lives in me, I can be myself. And number two, because Christ lives in me, I can change. So let me unpack these. First, because Christ lives in me, I can be myself. Let me borrow an analogy. Think of Christ lives in me. So Christ lives in me. Christ lives in you. He lives in us as Christians. Think of it. This is union with Christ, okay? Think of it like putting on a Mickey Mouse costume. When you wear a Mickey Mouse costume at a place like Disney World, what happens to you? What happens to you is you get approval. You get love. Oh, lots and lots of love. And you get acceptance. That's what you get when you are wearing the Mickey costume. Brothers and sisters, we are, in a way, covered in the righteousness of Mickey. That is Christ. We are covered in him. Just like Mickey, when we walk around at our Disney World, when we live the crazy lives that we have, with our Christ costume on. It's true, we have a Christ sort of costume on. When we're walking around, you know what we get? We get exactly what Mickey Mouse gets. We get approval, we get love, and we get acceptance from God. That's what we get when we are in union with Christ. We get all the love, all the approval, and all the acceptance we need and desire. Therefore, because of that, because we get all the love, acceptance, and approval we need, we don't have to put on a show. We don't have to wear a mask, wear a costume. You already have a costume.
that gives you, like Mickey, all of this acceptance, love, and approval that we want as human beings. But the difference is, unlike Mickey's costume, you don't take off and put on Christ at the beginning and end of your work day. Right? Christ is clothed. You're clothed in Christ all the time. So all of your sin, all of your shame, all of your weaknesses are covered and out of view all of the time. Like, you don't see the person behind the Mickey costume. You don't see what they look like. They're covered. So our sins, our weaknesses, our shame is covered because we're clothed with Christ. Now, because Christ lives in you, you are free to be you all of the time. You're free to live, Paul says, in the second half of this verse, you're free to live in the flesh by faith in the Son of God. Paul recognizes that you're going to live. And you're now free to live. You're free to be you. So here's sort of, here's the thing. If you are like Dylan, which we all are, maybe not anger, it's something else for you. If you're like Dylan and you feel that no one can know about you, truly about you, know that you are free to be you because Christ lives in you. And even if you are rejected and you are judged by others because of your sin, or because someone else is sinning against you and rejecting you or judging you, even if that happens, it doesn't ultimately matter. Why? Because you have acceptance, you have love, and you have approval from God the Father. He is the one that ultimately matters. So because Christ lives in you, you can be yourself, warts and all, knowing that God approves you, He loves you, and He accepts you. You are now, as Paul says, free to live by faith, live in this flesh. I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. So first, because Christ lives in me, I can be myself. But second, because Christ lives in me, I can change. I can change. Now let me make something clear when I say that I or you can change. I don't mean when I say I can change that Christianity is a self-improvement project. That's not Christianity at all. Christianity is not about self-improvement. Christianity actually says something different. You know what Christianity says? Christianity says, you know what? I have changed. I have changed. I am a fundamentally different person because of Christ. Paul states it like this in verse 20. Look at verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ, and what does he say? It is no longer I who live. I have fundamentally changed. Yes, it's still me. I don't live some sort of alien existence. I'm still me, but the core of who I am has fundamentally changed. Let me use another analogy that might help you. Some of you, particularly the younger, but older too. Who is the greater superhero? Batman or Spider-Man? That's great. Oh, that's great. Thank you for that. Didn't fall for my false dilemma. Well, Batman, is he's handsome, he's rich, he's strong, he has many cool gadgets like the Batmobile. Spider-Man, he also has a lot of cool gadgets, right? But here's the difference between them, and I think some of you got it. Batman's power stems from his external relationship to his possessions. All of his gadgets. That's what makes him Batman. Spider-Man obtained his superhero powers because why? He was bitten by a spider. So Spider-Man's fundamental nature has changed. Spider blood courses through his veins. And now that this blood courses through him, he has access to a power that no one else has. That's who you are in Jesus. You have access to a power that no one else has. You are more like Spider-Man than like Batman. So think about it for a moment. Think about all of the great resources that you have because Christ lives in you, because you have his blood coursing through you. Think about all the great resources. The Jesus, the Christ who humbled himself to wash dirty, stinking feet of the disciples. That's some humility. How many of you have washed someone else's feet? That takes humility to do that, right? He was humbled to wash the disciples' feet. That same power lives in you. The Jesus who served his bride sacrificially now lives in you. The Jesus who was raised to new life now lives in you. So here's the point. The point is that infinite resources are yours for change because Christ lives in you. You have been bitten by the spider. And you're forever changed. So whatever shortcomings you feel in your life, whatever ways in which you wish you could change, your marriage, your relationship with your kids, your relationship with your colleagues, realize that because Christ lives in you, you can change. You really can. You can love your wife. You really can. You can respect your husband. You really can. You can discipline in love and not out of anger. You really can. Really, it's true. You can exercise patience toward that exasperating boss of yours. You really can. You can change because Christ lives in you. There was a theologian, his name was John Murray. John Murray said that union with Christ, what we've just skimmed the surface on tonight, union with Christ, he said, is really the central truth of the whole doctrine of salvation. So hopefully now you can see a little of why he said this. Union with Christ is so important because now that Christ lives in you, you can be yourself and you can change. Let's read it one more time. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in this flesh,
I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for these amazing truths from your word. Lord, help us all to believe them. And then, Lord, to live in light of them. Lord, help us to recognize what we have talked about tonight. Lord, I don't want to re-preach the sermon in this prayer, but I ask that you would help us to implement these truths. We pray for Jesus' sake. Amen.